So we left off with the first very, very difficult question here. So what do we know for sure? This is not easy, okay? And there's no one else, no one helps us out. There's no Rishonim on this. There's no Achronim on this. This is just us and the Gemara. All right, so what do we know? So we know there's a problem. We have an inconsistency in Mishnahs. So one Mishnah says that after if a non-Jew uses his grill to cook, treif, so what do I have to do to get out the treifus? Libun, which remember, we're all familiar from Pesach. That's the one time everyone loves doing Libun, right? So Libun, and it seems to be on the surface that which is put in with fire requires fire to take out, okay? And if you want to even take a further step, which you don't have to, you can even argue that the depth now I got to remember, we're not thinking, we have to take off our scientific hat and put it over here and think a little more abstractly, but that somehow the deepest penetration takes place with fire, okay? And therefore, since the deepest penetration takes place with fire, we need fire to remove that penetration, okay? But you have a big problem, because what do you see about Kachim? See, by Kachim, that the Gemara is so bizarre. The Gemara says that by Kachim, again, a Kli, now let's get our facts straight. Kachim are mutter to eat from the time of the Hakrava until Alos, let's say. Let's make it simple. Use a Korban Chatas until Alos, okay? Until Alos. What happens after Alos? What happens to the status of the Korban? It becomes Nosar, which we're going to say is equivalent to Treif. Good. Now, what's going to, what? Even worse than Treif. So now what's going to happen? The Tom, okay, the flavor of the Nosar is going to get into, right, the, what? Okay, good. You're already sneaking ahead to what the first Shita says. But all the Gemara says is that when it comes to Kachim, you require Hagala. And we know Hagala is the boiling, what? That's what Hagala is. Later on, that comes up. Hagala. What's Hagala? Hagala is also a thing that we should be used to. I can mention you guys also about Pesach time, but they set up these pots around Modi'in, these huge, like massive pots. You just like chuck your kli in before Pesach. What? Well, not on certain street corners. Modi'in's very uptight about zoning, so there's only certain areas you're allowed to do Hagala. Okay. So what do you say about, but Kachim changed his status, and for some reason, the Mishnah says that you only require Hagala, which doesn't make any sense. Okay. So what's the first attempt at reconciling these two? All right, is that clear? Anyone have any questions about that? Okay. So what's the first attempt at reconciling? It's as follows. They're very different cases. Because when it comes to the treif, okay, so when the non-Jew uses the pot, okay, so what happens? So when the non-Jew uses the pot, we're going to call it, this is the non-Jew case, okay? And we'll call this the kachim case, okay? And now remember, don't yell at me. I just telling you what the Gemara says, okay? I'm just a shaliach there. So what does the Gemara say? So when it comes to the case of the non-Jew, right? So what happens? It goes in as treif, okay? So before it went into the pot, it was treif. And after it entered the pot, it was treif. So it was treif through and through. That requires libun. Okay, but when it comes to the case of the kachim, it goes in as what? It goes in as kachim. It stays in here, let's say, as kachim for whatever, some amount of time, X. We'll call it X, right? But then eventually turns into nosar. Okay? So for some reason, he's saying that here, right, this requires libun. Now here, we don't know why. He doesn't explain why. He just says that since it goes in as kachim, and again, as Shua is pointing out, it has to be in here for some period of time as kachim, and then turns to nosar, it only requires hagala. So of course, the question we have to ask is, why? Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense what he's saying. And it's not us who has to ask that question, because what's the Gemara's next question? Okay, let's be precise. The question the Gemara asks is, this makes no sense because who cares what goes in? What we care about is what comes out. At the end of the day, what's coming out of this pot is treif, and what's coming out of this pot is nosar. So it's irrelevant what it went in like. Who cares how it went in? We care about how it comes out, right? Okay. Sure. How do we answer this? What Mordechai, and I think David, you're agreeing with this, what you guys are trying to do is that you're trying to say that there must be something different about the mechanism of how the Isser is being generated here. Because by the case of Treif, you're saying that, I'm not sure if I'm ready to go that far, but you're saying that the Tom Treif intrinsically is Tom Treif. That's what it is. In other words, I actually have particles of Chazer, a pig, pig particles. But nosar is not, I think what you're saying, nosar is never a quality in the meat itself. Nosar is, what's the word I love to use? Superimposed onto the quality of the meat. In other words, chazer is a type of meat, okay? Whereas you wouldn't say that by, let's say, what do you call it? You wouldn't say that by nosar. Nosar is not it's not a type of meat. It's the halachic system comes along and says, what happened to this meat? It's regular good old meat. It just happens to be a certain amount of time went by, and now a new status is superimposed onto the actual thing itself, okay? Oh, exactly. Right. The same way we superimpose a quality onto the object, right? So too, this thing called nosar is something that's superimposed onto it as well. That's the crux of what you're saying, right? Was that a nice way to put more precise? Is that okay? Or concise? Okay. But let me ask you a question. But let's understand. But okay. So then why does that bear out? Now I'm going to ask what Ellie's going to ask. So why does that bear out insofar as differentiating between Haggalah and Liban? So why wouldn't the Gemara say, no, we still have to do Liban on it? Because later on, the Gemara is going to shift back and say you have to do Liban. Why not say you got to do Liban on it? Hold on. The attempt being made here is to try and I'm not disagreeing. You're trying to say that the process of Liban and Haggalah, ultimately, really, there's really, you'd agree that Haggalah is weaker than Liban, right? But you'd say, you would say that, but when we say it's weaker than Liban, what you're really saying is that there's two ways that Haggalah is weaker than Liban, okay? One is insofar as actually getting out the Isser that's inside, because you would agree that if the non-Jew boils his chazer in water, right, all you require is Haggalah for that, right? So you can't deny the fact there's a physical idea of penetration that's weaker by Haggalah. You're just saying there's another function Haggalah has, which is to differentiate between different types of halachic yisurim. That's what you're trying to say. Okay. I understand why you go that way, because that's simpler insofar as how to read the Gemara, but it becomes very weird. So the other way you can go is you can get to this idea, well, let's understand what's happening here. There can never be a complete saturation of Tom Isser in the pot if you start off with something that's touching. I originally, when I first approached it, I kind of like was trying to think what you were thinking, because it fits into the language of the Gemara, right? Because it's talking about Blia and Plata. But unfortunately, you're going to have to end up going to the direction these guys are going in. You're going to have to say at the end of the day that it must be something about the identity of the thing itself that's different. Meaning that there's something, the difference between saying, I'm not going to get into the anatomy of corpuscles, but there must be saying between that I actually have pig in here versus saying I have something that whose substance, it's not pig, it's regular meat. It just happens to be there's something superimposed on top of it. Okay? I'm not sure. Was there an Ethan?
I don't understand.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Yeah. Don't look. They're trying to say, don't look at Haggalah just simply as a weaker method of physical removal of Tom. It also is set up as the alternative, the weaker halachic method of removing Tom. So at the end of the day, but basically what you're saying is that we don't have this idea of a halachic Isser Tom thing. We have basically, we hear about one thing. What's coming out of there? It's Usser. But that's what you say. So now Rava comes along. What's Rava's position? Rava says, nah, not so fast. He says, when you see Haggalah, it doesn't really mean Haggalah. Okay? Another clever maneuver by the Gemara. You thought it meant Haggalah. It doesn't really mean Haggalah. Because we know there's an additional chiyuv that's required to do when it comes to a kli that's used with a korban. What's that chiyuv? Riko Shtifa. The Torah tells us, in Morak Vishutaf Bamayim, that not only does it require, of course it requires Libun, of course, the whatever the kli, the shvud, the spit requires libun. But on top of that, it also requires marika and shtifa. Oh, but it turns out marika and shtifa. Right. Now, okay. Now, that's also problematic. Because Haggalah means what? Taking boiling hot water and putting a pot into it. It does not mean rinsing off with cold water. In fact, we have something that's called rinsing off with cold water. What's that called? Hadacha. Okay? Hadacha. That means rinsing off with cold water. So how can he say this? And is that exactly what Abaye calls him out for? Abaye says, what are you talking about? He says, Tana hacha libun v'hu adin l'hagalah. Tana hacha magalah v'hu adin libun. Right? Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm like, Abaye, mi damein riko shtifa bitzonein. Hagalah b'chamin. That's his kash. He says, you're not talking about the right thing here. Riko shtifa means cold water. Hagalah means hot water. So let me ask you, what was Rava thinking? Is this worse than the first possibility, by the way? Or using the idea of regel v'nei atzmo and shmini atzeres as a precedent, where you see the Gemara there openly says it's the category and the prat, how could that work here? Meaning, in order to answer Rava, you're going to have to say he agrees there's something called a category of a gala, and including the category exists both rikon shtifa and the normative halachic gala. Is that if you say hagala is a category, what you'd have to say is hagala refers to the method of using liquid to kasher kalim. That's what it refers to. So it's referring to a process, not the maisa. You understand? Hagala means the process that we use of water to make something kasher. Okay? So now the question is, now it could be that this type of thing requires this specific maisa. Now is that required? That maisa. But if hagala means a process, then you could call it a category that both includes the technical halachic maisa hagala and the maisa mirkan shtifa. He's saying you're playing a very nice word game of saying that process, but ultimately, what does hagala mean? Hagala, it's not referred to a process. Hagala is a technical halachic performance. Period. So it says, okay. So Ella Amar Abaye. Okay. Reo. Okay. So I'm gonna. Okay. Now, when it comes to approaching this, our job here is not to get into a machlokas about how this principle works. I'm gonna try to save you time. Don't try to speculate about it's a machlokas in how Yagid Al Reo works. What does Yagid Al Reo mean? So it literally means one is. Yeah, to his neighbor, okay? When informed, right? How does that work? So he says as follows. He says, go read. Tana. Okay, so don't think about Liban Hagala. Just let's use mathematical symbols here for a second to make it a little easier, okay? So he's saying as follows, okay? What do we have? We have case A, right? And what process is used? X, okay? And then we have, we'll call this B, and what process is used? Y. But really, B is really what?
A.
Okay? That's his move. So what he's going to say is, what applies here would apply there also. Right, basically, yeah. Okay? Is that clear? In other words, he's saying that in one Mishnah, it says, we have the case of Treif Libra. In the other Mishnah, we have the case of Kachim Hagala, right? And Yagid Al...
No,
that's right. No, Kachamagala, Treif Liban.
Oh, yeah.
You're a...
Wow. Correct?
So, Yagid Al Reo means that, what can I do? I can form a relationship between the two. Okay? Which means I can learn from one to the other, and vice versa. So what's the practical... So one second, so what's the practical effect of this according to Abaye? What? Oh, so what would that mean? It means you need both. That's the key. Yagid Al Reo means now, okay, now we can change back to B, means what would I need in every single situation? If I have, meaning like this, if I have Treif, what do I have to do? X, Y, right? Plus Y. And if I have the case of Kachin, I have to do X plus Y. Okay? That's one version of Yagid Al Reo. So again, Yagid Al Reo means what can I do? I can, in a sense, fuse these Mishnayas together, and by fusing them, X and Y become one, and it teaches you I'm chayav to do both Hagala and Libud, whether it's a case of treif or a case of nosar.
Is that because of suffering, or is that because of so, like,
One of those hidden principles that were given over at Sinai? Okay, Yagid Al Reo. Like it's a method of how to resolve Mishnayos. Okay, that's the axiom we got to take going into this. Okay, however,
the question is that. We already said that Libra is the highest level and gets rid of the law. So what's the point of the...
Right, so his answer, not a svar. Maybe we'll leave off and think about this for tomorrow. His svar answer, his answer is going to be, it's just factual answer, it's going to be, that's the principle of Yagid Al Reo. You can apply the principle. And when you do that, by applying the principle, this is what's going to have to emerge.
What does that mean, though? You did Libra, and now why are you doing
it? Then you're doing Hagal, then you got to do Libra. Both? Oh, so I can answer that also. Okay, truth be told, it's too early to play this card. But it turns out, the Rishonim explain that there are situations where, there are situations where, let's say I have a pot, okay? And let's say, I'm being serious about this, let's say in that pot, let's say it's an odd geometric shape, okay? Or in the old days, it's made like grooves and... What? Yeah, cast iron, right? So Hagala, right, won't actually be... complete.
No.
Okay? Yes, I kid you not. Because I'll tell you why. Because the water
can't get those nooks and crannies.
Just like I gotta use a special light on from Dikas Chametz to get into those nooks and crannies, the Hagala will not do as good of a job getting there. So you bring the Liban in afterwards to like take care of those little crevices that the water can get into.
Water works as it fills up the lake.
I know the physics of water. I really do. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just, well, no, not yet. Not yet. I'm just saying you could conceive of some rationale why you would have to do both together. I'm saying even on a practical level. The Gemara's kash is a good one. So Amrle Rava. But look who's back, by the way. This is also not so often this happens, where there's Rava played his position, Abaye came along and made him look kind of foolish, right? So Abaye comes along and plays his position, and what's Rava going to do to Abaye? So you made me look foolish, I'm going to make you look foolish now. So watch what he says. Ehafi. So what does that mean? What?
Right,
but in other words, how does Yogid Aleihu work? It doesn't work like this. It works like this, right?
For Yogid Aleihu.
Yeah. How does Yogid Aleihu work in this situation? It's not that you fuse them together. Rather, what has to happen?
It's the all in one, and you put it to the other.
What?
It needs to be all in A, and it
has to be A is X and Y, and B is Y.
Exactly. You have to have. You can't make these fuse together. You have to have a precedent in the Mishnah that has both phenomenon, and then what you could say is, let's say for as an example, let's say this only had X. Is that X and Y? I could therefore apply somewhere else. Right. Exactly. But you can't say you can't create this idea of fusing them together. Now we're stuck. Because now, this is why I'm trying to tell you. You'll think about this for tomorrow. There's two ways you can approach this. You can try and approach this by thinking this is a machlokas and how Yogid Aleihu works. I don't buy that. Good luck with that. You could go down that road. Because that gets into like a very universal concept of this methodological principle. Or you can figure out what is it about X and Y, meaning Hagala and Liban, that they're arguing about. I think the machlokas is going to be in how they view Hagala and Liban. But it's up to you how you want to define it. Okay?
What are the other cases of Yogid Aleihu?
Great question.